Hello, friends, countrymen. Welcome to another show. Come hear a tale of vast. Well, anyway, how you doing, Dave?
I was kind of down until I heard that intro. Now I'm high, dragon energy.
Well, it's been a week since we last talked, but it's been a while since I recorded with my son hanging off my chest. So we'll see how this works out. He's almost got too big for this boba thing, so he's become unruly. Come, have a seat. Listen to my tale. You know, I like Judge Jeanine Pirro, but I don't like how she talks. I've decided.
there are people like that. A guy that excuse me does that for me kinda is Mark Levin in a way.
Right.
He just kind of has a little whiny voice, you know, a lot of times.
I don't know why, but every time I listen to Mark Levin, I just think about Richard Dreyfuss's character from What About Bob. I just imagine that Mark Levin's probably like that in real life.
That's a great description. that is they're very similar as far as, like, you know, the kind of how they talk, you know, just why are you now? You know, when they get going on something, right. they're very similar.
I can imagine, like, if somebody was coming to tape at his house in the morning, that he would probably do a lot of the same things. That have the do it with the pipe or without the pipe, honey? Mrs. Levin, go. What are we having for breakfast? Go.
Wonder if that's how he talks around the Mr. Producer.
It would be better, like, if he did.
Mrs. Levin.
My daughter, go, talk.
Ask his kids something when they were little, you know, like when you're just kind of being a parent, you really don't want to hear their answer. You're just kind of being just a parent, you know, kind of a jerk, right, about it. You're like, you catch them in a lie or doing something wrong. Oh, what's your excuse? And they get, like, you know, half a sentence into it. Ah, shut up already.
Go to your room.
Go to your room.
You make me sick.
I know you're lying.
Yeah, I was scanning Twitter before we did this podcast, and I saw Judge Jeanine. It's been a while since I haven't watched cable TV. I have cable, but mostly, it's like my kids watch Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, stuff like that. Whenever it's not weird, it's odd too, because the stuff that's on those channels is, like, I think it's good up until they get like six or seven, and then it gets really weird. Like my kids don't watch any of the actual, you know, shows where it's real people. They mostly are just watching cartoons when they're watching those channels. I mean, they, you know, they watch educational things too. So, but whatever, you know, judge me if you, we still haven't heard from a single person that listens to that. So I'm not 100% convinced that, that anybody does. Me just listening to the podcast over and over again is getting us our listener count up a little bit. I do appreciate anybody who is listening. We've been getting more and more plays, slowly but surely. We're not a huge amount. I think it's getting ready to be time to change the one ad, but yeah, you know, so thanks for people who have been listening, but, you know, feel free to give feedback. GlennKeck2020@gmail.com. You can get on Twitter and respond to my fake persona on Twitter. So, you know, but yeah, I was just kind of cruising Twitter and saw Judge Jeanine, and I hadn't listened to her in a little while, and so I clipped on her. She does her opening statement. You know, it's all structured like she's she's still a judge. You know, whatever. That's the whole theme of her show. But she's we're getting it. I can't even do it. But she's just got this like. You know, she's this tiny, tiny little woman, and she just has this really thick, and her face contorts when she talks. She has this crazy, like, sort of deep New York heavy accent, and she, like, twists her mouth to the side of her face. We're coming to a time in our own country's history. Yeah, I'm not doing it right, but you know what I'm saying? Like, anybody who's heard her, you know, knows. I feel pretty good that I can't do an accurate Judge Jeanine impression too. I feel okay about that. I feel like if it came natural because I've never worked on it, then what would that they say something about me? But we appreciate. Oh, I already said that. Okay, so what we're gonna talk about on this eve? I guess I'll just say eve. It could be eve of the morning or night. So just make it relevant to whatever is going on in your life. We're going to talk about the Trump State of the Union address. And I think just give kind of our impressions. I'm sure that if you pay attention at all to the media, you've probably got analysis. You've probably seen it analyzed to death. So we're not going to sit here and make, you know, who, if you watched it or you've seen any commentary, you understand the sort of gist of it. Trump, I feel like it was a pretty great speech. The Democrats are all shit bags. Nancy Pelosi is kind of a petty old bitch. And Chuck Schumer is, I think.
Chuck Schumer.
He's like, he kind of reminds me of the Penguin from like the old Batman.
I think he does really like look like that.
Like one of those.
He honestly does. My brother and I watched that show a lot growing up because it was reruns, you know, from the 60s. And
right.
We used to watch that Batman all the freaking time. It was one of the few things on. And he really does look like the Penguin from that show. I mean, it's pretty astounding, honestly.
Get him one of those like cigarette crutches. That's what they call those cool long
top
things.
Hat, a monocle. Like
President Trump, whack whack.
We're gonna get him, whack whack.
We're gonna impeach you, so whack whack whack. Yeah. So he looks like he's insane, and I bet that dude is into some evil shit. I mean, I bet like him and Mitch McConnell meet up late at nights and have like blood oaths and, you know, eat teenagers or something. I bet they're into some fucked up shit.
I bet they're also the type that are just jerks to like people that wait on them, like
right
in restaurants and stuff, like, you know, the bad tippers. I bet you that he has the bookmark of a bad tipper, or a guy that, like, if he was working a normal job like in a restaurant or something, you say you would ask for like a certain, you know, kind of meat or something like that. You know,
right.
I feel like he's the guy that's just going to give you the cheaper one so he can make more money. You know, like, yeah, just, I bet they don't know the difference. Yeah.
Chuck Schumer's like the guy that walks into a place and goes, I need a Diet Coke. Whack, whack. And the lady's like, oh, well, is a Pepsi okay? No, it's not okay. Do you have any fucking idea who I am? Whack, whack. Like, he seems like the kind of guy that would be super pissed if you didn't have Diet Coke. Well, it just so happens, for your sake, I brought my own Diet Coke. And Mitch McConnell kind of looks like the guy from, that famous painting where, like, it's the farmer. What is this called? Like, American something?
American Gothic, I think.
American Gothic,
called.
Yeah. And, he also kind of looks like a puckered butthole, I think, when he gets that surprised look on his face. Hoo, 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 hoo.
I like that Rush Limbaugh refers to him most of the time as the turtle, because he really looks like, he'll just, he'll be talking about something and he'll be like, well, then the turtle comes out.
Well, and see, the thing is with people like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, these people, that are establishment hacks, you know, what you have to sort of take into account, like Mitch McConnell, I think there's a difference between Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell. See, I think that at times Mitch McConnell will do the right thing. I think that's so subjective now in our culture because we don't all share the same values. But, you know, in the sort of traditional, I think the American way, which is the way that I would like America to stay for my kids. And obviously things are going to change, but I think there's a value system that isn't just something that goes along with my Christian beliefs, but it's what has kept this country stable. And, you know, we've gone through all these things and prevailed sort of for so long because there's a lot of, and especially in dark times, there's a lot of things that religion and a belief in something beyond yourself really can get you through impossible times, like war and the Great Depression and civil rights and all kinds of tough things that we've gone through as a country. And man, I really don't want to get on this little side thing, but golly, I was fired up the other day. Let me finish my point here. But I think that somebody like Mitch McConnell will do what's right if he feels like it is, you know, politically expedient, like if he feels like it's sort of the right political move for him. And he won't if he doesn't see any real benefit from it. And I think the difference between him and Lindsey Graham is, I think that Lindsey Graham has been a hack. And I think that when they call him like Lindsey Grahamnesty, I mean, he's representing his constituents when he acts like that. That, you know, that he represents a bunch of farmers that love the idea of illegal immigrants because it's people who will do a very menial, boring job. They have no other choice. They'll do it for next to nothing, you know? So I think that's where I've differed with Lindsey Graham and some of the decisions that he's made. But I feel like with the Kavanaugh thing, he just fucking had enough. And what we're seeing now, like the Lindsey 2.0, I think, hey, be careful if you have a beard. It sounds like the microphone is rubbing against your beard. I'm hearing some. I had something happen last time where, and I know exactly what it was. I was wearing a robe and I leaned up against the cabinet and everything went muffled for like a 5-minute period in the podcast. So I put in the description, sorry. You know, we're trying to do this in kind of the, like, the way that's not only convenient, but it's also the best quality. And this is kind of what we've got to. It's not the perfect setup. So, we, you know, apologize if, like, you're hearing and you hear.
It's my hood. Oh, okay. I'm wearing a hoodie, and it was rubbing up against it.
But, you know, we work on that stuff. And that's, again, where feedback would be helpful. And but there's stuff. I listen to all these podcasts before I put them out. So I try to be aware and I try to kind of evaluate, like, is it worth? We've done podcasts over when we had. We don't just crap them out regardless. But yeah, I think the difference between Mitch and Lindsey, I think that Lindsey Graham had enough. I think he has gotten frustrated with the Democrats in Congress. And I think that he just decided, you know what, I'm not going to play the game anymore. I'm not going to play nice. I'm not going to I think during the Kavanaugh thing, he just decided he wasn't going to let a good man be torn down. And really, he made the difference. There's no question about that. So, you know, but man, just a little sidebar before we get into the State of the Union. Like, and I want to say that maybe I've talked about this before, but I think it's worth bringing up over and over again, because when you hear people like, I'm sick of talking about the three named idiot that's sweeping all the national headlines. So we'll just start calling her her that shall not be named, and you'll know who we're talking about. She's got three names, and she used to be a fucking bartender. And she is simultaneously what's beautiful about the political system and what's dangerous. Simultaneously, she is these two things. You know, it's awesome that a regular person can get out there and be put in a position to make a difference. It's terrifying that somebody so fucking stupid can be out there trying to push policy. So, but when you hear like her or Maxine Waters or anybody in the media, anybody from the left, and it's really sad when you hear people like Greg Popovich, who I used to have so much respect for, and they when they talk about this vision of America, we're like, it's just as bad as it was back in the 50s and the 60s, and it's just as bad as it was during Jim Crow, or it's just as bad. It's not any better. And you literally hear that now. And so here's the thing. You can't have it both ways. Either Martin Luther King was this wonderful civil rights leader that brought about love and change, or he didn't accomplish shit and everything's exactly the same as when he was alive. You don't get to have it both ways. Somebody like even you know, sports figures, entertainers, Jackie Robinson, you know, Michael Jordan. Nobody looked at Michael Jordan and go, well, I would like him, but he's just too darn black for me. If anything, he was an example. He kind of made white people go, well, shit. I guess there's just a ceiling. I'm never going to be able to jump from the free throw line. They had a video that they used to be out called Michael Jordan, Come Fly With Me. It was like analyzed. Like Jeff Hornacek is jumping to try to block him, and Jordan is jumping, and then he just fucking stays in the air for like another 2 seconds longer. You know, it united people, and it changed. It broke down all these barriers. Well, you don't get to have it where all these important civil rights leaders are celebrated. They broke down all these barriers. They changed all these things, yet it's all the same as it was, even worse. You know, so pick a fucking lane, Democrats. Either piss on the fucking memory of Martin Luther King and, you know, Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X and all Muhammad Ali and fucking Rosa Parks and all these people. Either they didn't do shit, or stop being so fucking dramatic and speaking hyperbole. This is not the kind of country that it was when all these great civil rights leaders that came before you made a difference, but you don't get to simultaneously, tout their accomplishments and then act like you live in a world where none of it mattered. It's just stupid. It's dumb. And we see through it. And our kids and their kids are going to go, oh, racism, that thing that people say whenever they're fucking that, you know, just trying to avoid a debate, like it's ridiculous. But anyway, let me kick this. All right, I got the soapbox out of here. I don't think I can even get back on it. So, what are your impressions of? I know you didn't watch the night of, but having watched the State of the Union, what were your takeaways? And you know, again, people in the media have talked about the standing, the sitting, yada, yada, yada. But just as an American, without trying to put on the hat of some sort of critic or whatever, like as an American, what does it mean to you when you hear Trump talk?
Well, the State of the Union, I thought was awesome. I mean, and I think I really do believe that he won people over, even more people over. I mean, I think just the stuff he said, he's just reciting and saying, you know, what America's has been about before and what it still is for the most part. I mean, regardless of what you hear or say in the media, you know, that it still is the greatest country out there, and there's a reason for it. And it ain't freaking socialism.
Right.
And so I'm glad he's saying the things he says, you know. And I'm glad he said this country will never be a socialist country. And I'm glad whoever the cameraman was that panned to Bernie Sanders when he said that, I want to buy that guy a steak dinner, man, because that's great. Bernie looked like he just kicked him in the knee or something, you know what I mean?
Oh, so, man, his face was beet red.
Yeah, and it was great because he's right, you know. These people that want socialism, I'm not going to get on my anti-socialism soapbox. I'm just going to encourage people to please find an example of where socialism has worked in history.
Even kind of worked.
Yeah, even kind of worked.
Even worked for a little bit.
There's just, you know, like, man, I hate to quote Jordan Peterson because I'm not really on a Jordan Peterson thing anymore. I'm not real sure about that guy anymore. But like right. he has said, you know, I was watching an interview with him one time, and he said people that, you know, support communism and socialism need to really evaluate all the lives that have been millions of lives, you know, millions and millions of lives that have, you know, come under the rule of socialism and communism. And if you're willing to still kind of even consider that as a way to live, you know, you really need to reconsider where your priorities lie about life, because there's so many examples in history of socialism, which is basically, you know, a form of communism in my opinion, and just the failures of it over and over and over and over again in history. Anyway, well, I'll get off that, but yeah, the State of the Union I think is great. You know, Trump did a great job of pointing out how great America is, and also, you know, throwing some shots at these Democrats that keep, you know, preaching this, that, and the other. You know, it's about time we had a fighter, and I'm glad he's in there fighting.
Right. Well, it's like Venezuela's not even it's not even a good example for us to use, because Venezuela is the perfect possible scenario to try socialism under. You know, they were a country, you know, very rich in resources, and the standard of living there was very, very high. And it wouldn't be like that here in America. It wouldn't take nearly as long to tank our economy and put us in dire straits, because, you know, it's a much larger country. It's our economy is much more fragile. And the thing is that it would have a real negative impact on the rest of the world whenever we started falling apart and people were, you know, bread lines and all this type of stuff. It's fucked up that our president has to reaffirm that at the State of the Union, but he did, you know, this mania. And what I think it helped to do is put it into perspective. Now, this is where the Democrats have no self-awareness. They're chasing. It's like if you go on social media, like if you're a, you know, well, any age person really, and you go on social media and then you're talking to somebody, you're like, dude, I got like 5,000 friends on Facebook. You know, it's like, wow, what does that mean? You know, that means you get a bunch of likes when you put something that you fucking think is clever on there. I mean, it's cool. Like, there's definitely a dopamine response in your brain that counts that as good. But in like real life situations, what does that do? If you have 5,000 people, and you know, people have way more friends than I am. I'm just talking about the average person. But like, and you put, hey, I need a ride to work, you know. How many of those 5,000 are going to jump to say, hey, I got you? It's a fake world. It's a bubble. And it doesn't really translate that well, I don't think. And I think there's different examples, you know. So, but you have people in the Democrat Party that are sort of chasing this idea that what is true on social media is somehow relevant. But most of the average working people don't have time to fuck around on social media. The representation of people on Twitter and Facebook is hyper partisan. And I think we talked a little bit last time about Facebook and Twitter being different. I don't want to get back into that, but I think that Trump in his State of the Union, when he talked specifically, because I'll be honest with you, we'll just get real quick into my reaction. I'll be 100% honest, and whatever this means about me, but I was a little bit nervous that Trump was going to dive into some of these topics like he kind of does with his Twitter. And I have a really hard time sort of explaining this, because I like it when Trump's aggressive on Twitter. I like it that he trolls people. He's like the ultimate troll and he fucks with people. I like it. But there are times whenever he gives stupid people, like the cunts on The View and, you know, different people in the media, he gives them these fucking softballs that they, you know, that they just knock over the fucking fence with bullshit. And not to me. I don't watch, you know, Chris Cuomo go, oh, fuck, he got Trump, left himself open, and he got him. But for the dipshits to cheer for. But he talked about things in such a way that if you didn't clap for them, you look like a fucking monster. And, you know, if you're trying to make him look bad, it just didn't work out. And that's why 76% approval. And CBS took that poll and they tried to downplay it. But CNN got the same results. And you fucking know that they are not the audience sample is not even. And I would think that it was probably higher than that. I would venture a guess that it was probably over 80%. Because with those polls that they take, they always oversample the left. They always do. That's why they're always wrong. And so I don't believe any of those polls by people like CBS or CNN or any of those fuckers. So I think that it was even more widely approved than what was reported. But even for them to admit that it was that high, to me, really, it really is. It is a great thing. And I thought he did a really great, you know, people like Ben Shapiro had like a lot of good things to say, but they've always got to put that caveat. Well, Trump and his speechwriter did a good job. Well, and Ben talked about, well, he was a little bit lifeless because he's not speaking because he was having to read and he doesn't like to read and he wants to just speak from his, but then he did say some of his better moments was when he would say something, catch the, you know, like when they all sang happy birthday to the guy that was a survivor of the Holocaust and the Tree of Life. And then he said, they wouldn't do that for me, and got a laugh, you know. I think it was just, he was just comfortable. How many people, I know that I couldn't. How many people could be standing up there and he'd look at Republicans and he'd look at Democrats? And how many people could look upon a room of some of the more powerful people in the country just looking at you with full of hate and venom and spite, and knowing that they weren't going to take anything that you said, and they and knowing what they were saying while you were saying it and what they were going to say after? But he looked comfortable. He never was rattled. He never, I mean, I don't know why I was surprised, but I was really pleasantly surprised on how he handled it. And it was really done masterfully. And I'm not going to sit here and give his fucking speechwriter credit. I'm sure that he has a great speechwriter, but I think it's a lot of it is in his delivery and his demeanor and the fact that he's not trying to make any friends in Congress. He doesn't give a fuck. He's trying to win, you know, the hearts and the minds of the American people. So I thought, one of the things I was really glad is that lady, the moron from Minnesota, the new representative that wears the big thing on her head. She's a Muslim and she like married her brother. And
the one that
Iled or however you say, I don't know how you say her name, but anyway, I don't even care. But one time they panned over to her while Trump was talking about, I think, immigration or something, and she was like she was praying or something like that. Like she was so, the atrocity of what he was talking was so miserable that she couldn't stand it. And they just quickly panned away and they never went back to her. And I thought, that's awesome. Don't give her any more attention because she is nothing but a, I put this on Twitter the other day. I said, I think it's a myth that she has a brain. I think she's a scarecrow that was briefly animated to show us the dangers of not voting, and that one day she'll just disappear much the same way she came without much fanfare notice. Because what I hope is that people from both parties look at this crop of radicals that the Democrat Party elected and people say, okay, well, you know, this isn't what we want. We don't want zealots. We don't want people that are full of anger and hate, and they're not willing to compromise, even if it was in the best interest of the people in America. They're like that lady, the lady from Minnesota. She's representing a small percentage. I know that like there's a large, a growing Muslim population in Minnesota, but I think that if you looked at probably the vast majority of the people there. If it came down to her own self-interest and the interests of her very small interest group, that she would pick that over the American people. And I think that some of that stuff, hopefully, Trump is revealing. So, you know, I think you made, you know, kind of a good point about the what he said. It was important about. It was important that he was sort of making these stands and saying these things. And, you know, let me get your reaction on this. What do you think about Ann Coulter calling it like a pussy speech or something like that? That I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly what she said, but she said it was a, like a weak, it was a, she was basically saying that all the stuff about the World War II and the Holocaust and all the feel good stuff was just a bunch of pussy shit, and that it was just a big pussy speech, and he wasn't hard enough, and he wasn't demanding the wall. And what is Ann Coulter doing? Is she just trying to sell her book, and that's it, or what's wrong with that woman? Is she gonna soon like shed her outer shell and begin to try to seek a mate? And so this is a lot of things are changing inside of her. Well, she'll bite his head off and eat his body after they mate to sustain her for the children she'll birth. Or
I think you know, the book thing's definitely a big part of it. I think Ann Coulter, I got to researching her, and I think she is a conservative for the most part, you know, but I think she's also one of these people that she kind of likes the fame and notoriety. A lot of people do. I get it. You know, it's probably pretty cool to be famous at times, but I think she takes advantage of any opportunity she has to get her name out there, especially when she has a book. Like, you know, she's not any different than a lot of these people out there that do that kind of stuff, but to draw attention, you know,
right.
You know, I guess she's just trying to be, she knows she's considered a hard right conservative. And so, you know, a lot of hard right conservatives probably really like the speech, you know, for the most part, that's probably 99% of it. And she wanted to be just you know, stand apart from the crowd to get, right. get some attention, man. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I, you know, when I researched about her, she just seems like that person. Like, she likes the fame and things, and she's trying to sell a book and all that stuff. And I feel like that's probably why she does these things, like, you know, goes out there and just, you know, Trump well, does and something like, what good, and she's like, but what about the wall, you know?
Weren't you talking at one point about how she used to work for, like, JFK Jr.?
Yeah, she like was... That? Apparently, he had a magazine that it was about kind of not really pop culture, but kind of maybe high society type stuff. And they had a little bit of politics in there, obviously, because, I mean, he's JFK Jr. Of course, they're going to have.
Sure.
He can't get away from it. And that's part of the selling point of it, I'm sure, was that. But she was on staff for that. She was on his staff for that magazine and stuff. And that just kind of changed my, you know, I did some more digging and stuff. And when she goes on these rants and things, and, you know, she'll, you know, I hear her on all kinds of shows when she has a book coming. I mean, like, she'll be on Rush Limbaugh.
She was on Bill Maher.
Bill Maher, and then I've heard her on InfoWars. She'll go on InfoWars and do a thing, and you know that's a thing. Somebody like her, I would just assume, wouldn't go on Alex Jones's show. Right. You know, I would just assume she's that type of person that wouldn't touch Alex Jones. Yeah, but
she's just trying to hustle to get people to buy her book.
Mm-hmm. That's just what I think about her.
Right. I mean, well, that's like when I just she was think on the Rob all... Lowe. Mm-hmm. The roast of like Rob Lowe, which right. I mean, it ended up being a pretty fun thing because she was right and all those fuckers were wrong. You know, and so, you know, she has, I mean, I think she has done some things, whatever, but I just think she's fucking unreasonable. And I think that she's just, again, like there's a part of her that, like you're saying, is just out there for the attention and just mm-hmm. out there to have this. Oh, and she's so tough, you know? Mm-hmm. She's so uncompromising. If she was a politician, but, like, I don't think she could be a politician. I don't think anybody would elect Ann Coulter to anything, you know? I wouldn't want her even on the fucking PTA because she's insane. And she's so uncompromising that if you had, like, Ann Coulter on one side and Nancy Pelosi, you would never get anything done because those two women could wait out, you know? People could be suffering on all sides. I think that's why the shutdown ended, because I think Trump actually gives a shit about people and Nancy Pelosi doesn't. To her and Chuck Schumer, the ends were always going to justify the means. They were just going to hope that they could spend enough of the responsibility on Trump. And I think that Trump, in his mind, thought, well, the longer it goes on, the worse it gets for them too, which it was. It's a lot of her approval rate plummeted, but I don't think she gives a shit because she knows that her national approval rate doesn't matter. She's going to keep getting elected by her little tiny fucking region of America that elects her. And Trump has to appeal to a larger audience. And I think at the end of the day, whenever people are telling Trump, hey, you know, these workers are going, they're working every day, they're not getting paid, they're having a hard time. You know, they're struggling financially and yada, yada, yada. I think to him, he goes, well, you know, I would rather take the heat and because I think he actually gives a shit about America. I really think that's the kind of the shitty thing about how he's being treated is that he's sacrificed like $1 billion. He could have just been this like billionaire that lived the rest of his life hanging out with famous people and fucking, you know, playmates and whatever. But he decided to make the hardest decision because he actually cares. And that's why I think it's been so important for politicians and the fucking deep state and the media and all these people to crucify him because, you know, having people like that in the political system, you know, all the hands that are in the cookie jar know that, you know, they can't have it that way. So fuck Ann. Coulter and her bullshit. You know, she's said some good things, had some good points, but I think it's like Mitch McConnell. It's sort of incidental. If our values align with her values, then cool. But if they don't, then, you know, then it's whatever. It's whatever's best for her. So
I think she was also, for a while there, she was a big Mitt Romney guy, or woman, I guess. She was like a Romney that was kind of her guy, which...
Well, and the McCains were that same way. You know, I really think that John McCain is somebody that if it's politically expedient for him to do something, then yeah, he'll do it. But if it came down to like people going, hey, Senator McCain, you know, this is something that your constituents want, but he didn't feel like it was the best thing for his career, I don't think he would do it. I think that there's a lot of people who are missing, and we've talked about this before, but I think Trump truly didn't realize it was going to be like this. Because a lot of these people he's known as his whole life. And I think he really thought at the end of the day, people would compromise because they all wanted what's best for America. I think he really overestimated how many people care about this country that are in, you know, they're in politics. And I think there's a lot of Democrats who have missed opportunities to, because I mean, he's done the prison reform thing. He's the one that commuted Alice Johnson's sentence. Obama didn't do that. He could have, though. She's been in that position for a long time. So, you know, he's done a lot of things. He's like the worst racist ever. You know, he's like the worst anti-Semite who's ever lived, if that's what he is. Because he's constantly helped the black community with unemployment rate being low, with the prison reform, commuting sentences. He's told players in the NFL that if they knew people that were in there for the wrong reasons, he let them out, and not one NFL player has taken him up on that. It shows that they don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. How many NFL players have friends who Trump may have been able to look at their case and let them out, but not one of them. To them, it was more important that the whole crowd in the NFL accept them. If I was one of their buddies in jail, I'd be fucking pissed. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, man, go tell the president. He said he'd let me out if I was in here for the wrong reason. If I do that, man, all the guys will hate me. I'll be all over the news. It'll be the worst thing that ever happened in my career. Oh, it's like that, huh? And now I'm playing the scenario in my mind. Yes, yeah, like that. I mean, come on. Come on, homie. When you get out, I got you, man. I'm a millionaire. But so anyway, let's you have anything else you want to say about the State of the Union?
No, man. I thought it was great, you know, and
yeah,
there's a lot you could do like 20 podcasts on it, honestly, if you went through it. Just the reactions of it. It really showed you know, he's really great at putting these Democrats out there and showing who they really are, you know, like the great point where he was talking about, you know, the paid leave or whatever, the government paid leave for women, you know, and he talked about mothers and their babies. And then he went right into this basically infanticide is what I call it, but this post-birth abortion stuff,
right?
Really threw him.
It is, man. It's, I mean, it's just crazy town that we're at this place where, because of some fears that because of what Trump is doing on the Supreme Court, like because people are afraid that Roe versus Wade is getting overturned, they're trying to go to the extreme. Right. And I mean, I really hope it backfires, man, because it's horrible. I've got three kids. I've watched a baby grow like inside. I mean, if you've never had kids, like go watch a video of how the child grows and like what they look like after like 24 weeks. I mean, I know I mentioned this last podcast, but I have a nephew that was born at 6 months, and you know, he was like all there. He was just tiny. He only weighed like a pound and a half, but his, all his, you know, fingers and fucking toes and his head and everything was all fully formed at that point.
And he's alive today, right?
He's alive. Yeah. He's, I mean, he's
being a kid.
They
right?
said he was like perfectly healthy, but he was just small. So he's like a little bit smaller, but not that much. He had to spend, I think, like a full month or maybe a couple months at Children's Hospital. But I mean, he's alive. He's a normal kid. He doesn't have anything like, he doesn't have any disease or any disabilities. You know, he was just a premature born baby. So just like the idea that it's a clump of cells, like that shit's over within like the first month or so. You know, I mean, they start getting bulbs and eyes and like they have hiccups and they react to, they'll tell you that if you want, if your baby is putting pressure on a certain part of your stomach, that you can put like a warm thing or like a cold, you know, cold thing, and it'll make a move. So, I mean, they're temperature sensitive, so they feel things. So the idea that they're not feeling anything while you're fucking murdering them, you know, I mean, anyway, well, that is a thing that we'll probably talk about a lot. Because it's a fucked up thing. And the state that we live in, Arkansas, they just passed a thing banning abortion here if Roe v. Wade ever gets overturned. If it becomes a state's right, Arkansas is going to ban it. And I'm completely for it. I think, you know, the idea that there needs to be this compromise for like extreme cases. This is where that has led, you know, it led to where now they're willing to kill a baby after it's already been born. That's fucked up, man. Like I know that I've talked in here before that it's not good whenever I speculate on what's happening to people after they die. I felt like that was something that God told me. It's like, don't speculate on what's going to happen to somebody else. But every motherfucker that kills a baby outside the womb, I hope your ass burns in hell, because that is some fucking evil shit. And I don't give a fuck what you think about it. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, well, that's a little bridge too far for me, then, you know, I love debate and I'm not going to tell somebody that there's never a case at all, because and even the one in Arkansas, they've put that, you know, if there's like a, if it's some health risk for the mother, that there would be some exceptions. But I'm just telling you, if you're killing a full-born baby, if you're going to kill a baby after it's born and you disagree with that, like if you think that that's okay, if you think that a baby should be born and then kept comfortable, and then if the mother decides they kill it, if you believe that, this is the wrong fucking podcast for you, and I don't know why you're here. you know, I think there's like, I think that there are some things to debate. I think there's always room for opposing opinions to debate. So, you know, there are some issues about abortion that legally should be ironed out. But the like up until birth or after birth abortions, that's just fucking wrong. After somebody who has kids, like you'll never convince me otherwise. And, you know, if you've seen some of those videos of people that are like born with Down syndrome, I mean, those families are supposed to be happier, and the quality of life for a person with Down syndrome, you know, is pretty good from what I understand. I mean, I have no personal experience, so I can't say from experience, but you watch videos where people with Down syndrome talk about how it's fun. And there's varying levels of Down syndrome. You know, and so I don't know, like, well, for
my wife, she taught special ed for several years in the school system. And I can tell you that she can tell you that these kids, yes, they have disabilities, but they're still human beings. They still function, you know. They may not be rocket scientists or, you know, they may not be able to function at an extremely high level, but they can still live life and be, you know, have joy. They have all of these things, you right. know, that get discounted, I think, when you see a disability, but they're still people. They may not be right. like you or me, but they can still live lives. They still bring people joy. They still find joy and stuff. And it, you know, it's, this whole thing is just kind of an attack on the sanctity of human life, in my right. opinion. I mean, when you start just not having a value on life, which is what this does, you know, it's, you know, that's a big step into your toward your society failing.
Well, I mean, Hitler tried to kill off all the people mm-hmm. with Down syndrome. I mean, he's like one of the other people who thought that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. So all this, you know, stuff where people are supposedly against Hitler, but really you fuckers think exactly like him. You yeah. hate your political opponent. You're willing to do violence on people who disagree with you. You're mm-hmm. okay with taking over the government if it justifies your means. You're mm-hmm. all socialist. The fucking Nazi party was a socialist party, you stupid cunts. And you're willing to kill off, you know, anybody that you think for whatever reason doesn't deserve to live. I mean, mm-hmm. it's because if you ask any of these fervent leftists, and Owen Benjamin made a pretty good video about why you can't debate the left. And he basically talked about that Republicans and Democrats, like liberals, are on one side, that because he talked about how, like, he and his dad, he's got like a mother, father, and a brother, and they're all liberals, and he's a conservative. And they disagree on certain things like gun control, and they disagree on, you know, different, like, typical sort of dividing lines. But at the end of the day, they want the same thing. You know, they may disagree on gun control, but they don't want, you know, school shootings. They just differ on how they, you know, his dad thinks that if there were less guns, that schools will be safer. And he thinks that if teachers were armed, and if a gunman had an expectation that if they went on a school campus, there were going to be people there trained to respond, that it would, you know, so, but at the end of the day, they have the same goal, but that the people on the left, they don't share the same goals. They don't like America as founded. They don't like America any time recently. They don't like it now. And, you know, they don't have the same goals. When I am raising my children, I don't have the same goals as somebody from the left who has children. So, you know, I want my kids to grow up knowing their gender and learning how to be a man or a woman, because that's a very important part for a kid to learn from the beginning. And, you know, there's plenty of people who think they have the gender dysphoria. Those people still feel it, even though their parents raised them to be whatever. So it's not like this person would have thought they were a woman, but their dad raised them to be a man. That's not how it works. And being a man or being a woman is such a difficult thing anyway, aside from all this other pressure and these like existential threats to that today. But like being a man is a difficult thing. Being a woman is a difficult thing. And you start to learn that process from a very young age, and it prepares you for what happens later. And the idea that you're not giving your kids any information, well, I'll let them decide. Well, what the fuck do they know about it? What does somebody who is, you know, what does somebody who's never been a man know about being a man? Or somebody who's never been a woman know about being a woman? What informed decision are they making that, you know, like a kid that's 5 years old, it doesn't fucking know. It has no sexuality, for number one. So, but what does it know? Well, I feel like a boy, or I feel like a girl. I mean, it's so arbitrary for kids. They want to be cowboys and astronauts and something exciting and something different. They want to please their parents. And there's all these external pressures with children that influence them. But they don't have the relevant information. They can't make that decision for the rest of their lives. So having your child, well, they're going to choose what they're going to be. Well, what the fuck did they know? It would be like if you know, the first thing you ever wanted to be and you had to be that. You know, I want to be a firefighter. Okay, well, you know, you chose it when you were three. So we just raised you your whole life to be a fireman because that was what you picked. Well, wait, I didn't know what all it meant to be a fireman. I don't want to be. Well, no, but that's what we raised you at. I mean, to me, it's even more restrictive. But I digress. And it's fine to talk about this stuff. We're just, I think that it's good though. I think, you know, we've been doing our other podcast a little more structure, going from topic to topic. But I think coming off of a conversation about the State of the Union, you have to really take a look at where America's at and where do we want it to be? You know, we have to choose. I was talking to, I see a psychologist. I was talking to my psychologist and he has similar political beliefs that I do. And he was saying, when are we going to stand up? When are we going to stop letting people do these things to our society that we don't want? And I mean, there's plenty of people that are motivated on the left to change this world and to push people and to make it uncomfortable and to make it awkward. And they're using all these rules for radicals and ridicule and manipulation and things. And they're getting in. They've been infecting the universities for the past, you know, 70, 80 years. They've been infecting public offices at least since Obama was president, and longer than that. They're the teachers in elementary schools, you know, not just the professors at the universities. They have been willing to get in and try to affect change on every level in any way that they can. And at some point we have to decide, okay, well, do we want to have it in their hands? Do we want to let them decide what we get to do with our children? And in like, I think it's like Canada, where if you have a kid and you tell your kid that they can't be whatever gender they want to be, like, they'll take them out of your house. Like, it's child abuse. That's just north of us. Their society and their culture isn't that different than ours. Right on cue, bud. But, you know, it's these are the things that we have to, I think, decide. And I think that President Trump, as much as he was talking to Congress and saying, what will we choose? How will we be remembered? As much as he was talking to the people in Congress, he was talking to Americans. And what will we choose? You know, who will we be for our kids and for the generations that come next? How will we be remembered? Will we be remembered as the people who dropped the ball and who sat back while, you know, our culture was infected with just confusion and evil and all the things that come along with this laissez-faire attitude towards the structures of society and pillars that got us where we are? And I think we do have to get to a point where we say, like, no more. You know, we're done. We're done listening. We're going to meet you out in the streets if we have to. We're not going to let fucking Antifa direct traffic. We're not going to let these extreme people from Congress make radical policy. We're not going to let these things happen. And it may take a grassroots political movement. It may take something else. But I think that I think that we have to decide for ourselves how far are we willing to go to protect the thing that's precious. Or we let fucking idiots like the who will not be named, come in with her half-ass, you know, third grader math skills and tell us that we're going to pay people who aren't willing to work, you know? Well, fuck, I'm not willing to work if we're fucking handing them out, you know? It's just stupid. But a couple things I wanted to get to before we get done with this. Dave, have you heard about this Jesse Smollett feller?
Well, it's a it's an interesting story. I heard about it.
It's not that interesting.
I heard about it for about
definitely a story, though.
Right. I heard about it for about a day or two, day and a half, and then some stuff came out to where he wasn't going to release his phone. They weren't going to cooperate, really. And then I haven't heard anything about it since then. So,
well, it was interesting because
funny how that happens.
Well, and I wanted to look up some news articles because I knew I wanted to kind of talk about it, even if we just talk about it kind of briefly. But I could not find anything that had been written within the last couple days. I think there were some stuff maybe up until like 3 days ago, 4 days ago, something. But I mean, it's really hard to find anything current. The last thing, now, if you type in Jesse Smollett, then Smollett, whatever the fuck you say his name, what a stupid fucking name anyway. Like, nobody knows. If you haven't heard about this, which you probably haven't, or maybe you've heard about it in the periphery, I'll just give you sort of a quick rundown. This guy, Jesse Smollett, he's a black and a gay actor on a show called Empire. Now, if you've never seen Empire, you're probably, a normal person. I think it only gets about like 9 million views a week. So, you know, a little bit better than like your average CNN show, but that's not really that many people watching it. I've never seen it before, but I've seen commercials for it. I think it's like about like a record. I think it's about like some black people have like a record company or something. And there's like, I don't know. That's
probably
all
about,
I think it has that Terrence Howard guy. I think he's in it. And then there's some woman. About,
I think the gist of it is about how, the white devil tries to take over black people somehow.
Well, it's definitely got.
If I had to ballpark, if I had to ballpark it, I've never seen it, but I'm just guessing.
He is a gay actor that's on that show. Now, I guess he plays like a gay person on the show. I don't know. I've never seen it, but so this guy he lives in like a kind of fancier part of Chicago. And on one of the coldest nights of the year, he decides now, a few days before this happened, somebody had sent like a real jankety ass looking letter to him on the set of the show that just said MAGA. And it's really hilarious because you can almost tell just from that this is a leftist hoax, because nobody says MAGA as a fucking threat. That's a myth. That's a myth from these dumbass leftists who want to turn everything that Trump says into racism. But people that actually use that phrase, MAGA, it's not a bad thing. It's saying make America great. It's not an anti-gay or an anti-black thing. That's what the media says. So that immediately should kind of get red flags should start flying up just on that somebody sent him a note saying MAGA. I mean, it's like a leftist wet dream that's what people say when they hate black people and gay people. But really, So anyway, a letter came. So then this guy goes out to Subway at like 2 a.m. on one of the coldest nights of the year in Chicago, which is a city that there's cameras everywhere. So he goes to this Subway, like he's seen walking out of the Subway, I think, carrying his sandwich. He's off of the camera. He goes into like a camera blind spot for like 1 minute. And then he's seen walking. He walks into his door. There's like security guards at the building. He doesn't say anything to them. He's not limping or whatever. He goes up to, it's either his place or a friend of his place. He goes in sometime later. This person, I guess 45 minutes later, convinced him to call the police. He goes to the hospital. And the story comes out, TMZ reports that he's got broken ribs. He had a noose around his neck. He had bleach poured on him. That two men that are, they're wearing ski masks and MAGA hats, which have you ever tried to wear a hat over a fucking ski mask? Like, it's next to impossible. These guys aren't on any camera. So supposedly they beat his ass. They broke his ribs. They poured bleach on him. They took a noose and put it around his neck. Like, whenever he calls the police and, like, he goes to the hospital, I think, like, whenever he walks in the building, he's wearing the so-called noose around his neck. It's like a little – I think it's like a clothesline, like a thin rope. He's wearing it around his neck when he walks in the building. And he's not running in there. He's not limping. Supposedly he got his ribs broke. And he supposedly was on the phone with his manager while this happened. And he didn't tell the cops that night that the guys were yelling MAGA and calling him the N-word and calling him the gay slurs. And, so it's just this horrible hate crime that's reported. Well, pretty quickly, the Chicago police, like, he won't give them the phone to verify that he was actually on the phone with his manager. He won't let them use a body cam while they're interviewing him. There's just all these weird inconsistencies. There's nothing to back up what he's saying. Then it comes out that he didn't have broken ribs, that when he went to the hospital, there was, like, all he had was, like, a kind of a weird cut under his eye. And this whole thing just looks fabricated. It looks like a big hoax. The fucked up thing about it is like, think about how much animosity and anger that put against anybody wearing a MAGA hat. You're wearing a MAGA hat. You are not wearing it in a hateful fucking way. You people on the left are so far off base that you should be embarrassed of yourself. You really should. You're an embarrassing bunch of fucking people with this dumbass attitude and way you think. You create monsters out of nothing. And that's why people that wear MAGA hats are constantly getting fucked with, having Indians bang drums in their faces. They get fucking spit on and their hats taken off. They get fucked with. They get fucking beaten up. They get harassed. Because cunts like this fucking Jussie Smollett fuck. Like, if you're a racist, you don't watch Empire. You don't know who this guy is. You don't recognize him at 2 a.m. on the coldest fucking night, one of the coldest nights of the year in Chicago. That's like negative 30 or some shit. It's insane. Like, people have brought up that, like, the bleach, if you're carrying bleach around you in negative 30, it would freeze. You couldn't pour it on somebody. Why would you be still wearing the noose? You know, just why wouldn't you turn in your phone if you actually wanted to, you know, verify, because the guy said he heard the beating going on. It's just, the whole thing is fishy, man. And it's like, it's not okay. It's not okay that you make up stuff and you feed this flame of, it's because you have so much hate in your heart and you just want attention on yourself. This motherfucker, like 7 days after the supposed attack, I guess he's like a singer too. He's like dancing up on stage. He's talking about how he fought back. He called himself the gay Tupac. Oh, dude, I hope that whenever. Okay, I'm not going to keep speculating on what's going to happen to people after death. But I hope that Tupac, like the spirit of Tupac like is hanging, like haunts that son of a bitch. I hope that he gets a haunting from the real Tupac, because I don't know, man. That's a stupid thing to say. But anyway, I just wish nothing but the worst for this person, because he's, you know, there's no telling. Because a lot of this stuff, when people get attacked that are wearing MAGA shit, it's so underreported. The media doesn't give a fuck. So you don't know how many people, like Gavin McInnes's little buddy that does his podcast with them, the technician guy, the Ryan Katsu Rivera, he talks about trying to go into bars in like New York City wearing his MAGA hat, and they like make him take it off because they're talking about they have too many, you know, fights and stuff. And I guarantee you it's not people in MAGA hats starting the fights. Mm-hmm. That's what's fucked up. These people are being fucking targeted, you know, and this Jussie Smollett guy, in his mind, he's going, well, yeah, sure, it didn't happen, but like it might as well have. Those people are so such racist that they, even if it wasn't true, they deserve it. You know, I'm going to make up this story because I hate Trump and I'm so sick of all the Trump supporters. Like, I guarantee you that maybe some guy was walking down the street in a MAGA hat and that Jussie Smollett guy said something smart ass to him. The guy was like, well, hey, why don't you go fuck off? He's like, I'm going to show him. I'm going to tell the fucking cops that, you know, these guys attacked me. And just the whole way that, like, the letter was sent, it seems like it was premeditated by him. It's just a bullshit thing. Dave, when you hear stuff like this, what does it make you think? What goes through your mind?
Just how, man, it goes toward a hypothesis of mine that, you know, I've been, you know, I feel like you have to have some sort of issues with yourself, you know, mentally to be on the far left. I really do believe that. And, you know, I can hear people gasping now, but I mean, to do something like that, to sit there and have so much hate for a president, you know, I always compare, like, you know, I didn't like Obama at all. His policies, you know, I knew what he was about, you know, Saul Alinsky, all that stuff. But I would never, like, if I was some, you know, I hesitate to call this guy a celebrity, but if I were on a show and I had a half-assed singing career or something like that, I wouldn't think to go out and fabricate a story of, like, these Obama supporters, like, beat me up and poured bleach on me or poured oil on me or whatever, you know, to make it. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, you have to be mentally deranged to think that, or well paid. Maybe he was given some money or some clout or something for it. But it doesn't make any sense to me why you would do this. You know, it doesn't do anything, honestly, other than, you know, the more that's coming out on it, you know. And again, we haven't heard anything on this. I searched up some stuff. The latest, you know, they're story afraid. I could find they're was afraid. Like three, you know, was probably 6 days ago, February 4th or 5th, and today's the 9th. So, I mean.
Right. They're afraid to. They're afraid to come out and speculate on the realities that this is probably bullshit, because I don't think that there's any doubt in a lot of these people's minds that it is a hoax. I just think they doubt whether or not the police will have the balls to call it what it is. And now the Chicago, like the chief of police or somebody, the superintendent, somebody came out and said that if it was a hoax, that they were going to hold this guy responsible. I'll fucking believe that when I see it. That's a pretty – Chicago is a big time, like the leftists, like the guy supposedly said this is MAGA country. Like, Chicago is so fucking far left that it's the idea that Chicago is MAGA country is dumb. Like, Illinois is pretty strong. Like, I mean, you're talking about Rahm Emanuel. I mean, that's where fucking Obama was from, was Chicago. I mean, literally, like, it's, I don't know. It's just the dumbest ass thing. But it's like, Tell me what the difference is between the Democrat, the KKK, you know, wives or the white women back in the Jim Crow South that would claim rape so that they could get together and they could lynch a black person so that they could use that to like put the black community in their place and strike fear and terror in those people. You know, that's what that used to be about. Control, terror, being able to strike fear into people when those white women used to claim that a black guy raped them. And then, you know, they would get put their fucking KKK, you know, outfits on and they would go lynch a black person and it would just be open season. And the black community had to live in fear. Tell me what the difference is between that and what this guy's doing. You know, aside from the fact that like somebody wearing a MAGA hat hasn't been murdered and dismembered and all the terrible stuff that happened with lynchings. I get that that's a difference, but I mean, under the right circumstances, don't tell me that that's not a possibility, because there really isn't this spite and anger and venom on the right. There's just not. The idea that it's just a bunch of people, racist people that Trump is appealing to, and we just hate immigrants and black people so much. It's just not true. I don't hate black people. I don't even hate illegal immigrants. I just don't want them in this country, because not just because some of them are criminals and not just because some of them come here and take advantage of the welfare system and different things like that, but also because it's unfair to the legal immigrants. If you talk to somebody who's actually in this country legally that went through the immigration process, there's nobody that hates illegal immigration more than they do, because they did it the right way. And, you know, it's letting somebody's first contact in this country be illegal. They're breaking the law to be here. So what happens after that? It's just a series of different ways to break the law. They'll drive a car without a driver's license. You know, they'll enter. I mean, there's any number of different ways that you have no choice, even if you have the best intentions, but you're on the fringe of society. You're getting taken advantage of by people like the Koch brothers and by big industries that want cheap labor. You're a modern day slave, and you drive down wages and hurt people who are legal immigrants. So I don't hate them. I don't hate them because of their race. If people from Canada were coming in this country in droves and sneaking across the border, I wouldn't want them here either. You know, come in legally, and I'll give you the same courtesy. So, you know, with this Jussie Smollett guy, he's hating. It's, people want to call it a hate hoax, but it's not. It's a hate crime. It's a hate crime committed by this man who wants to cause anger and hatred towards people that he doesn't agree with politically. And he's willing to lie. He's willing to manipulate the system. He's willing to appeal to that hatred in people and give them a reason to react. And it's inexcusable. And I mean, he should have the book thrown at him. And if he faked it, Fox should fire him. This Empire show should fire him, but he won't. He'll be glorified either way. And that's the type of behavior, and that's the type of environment that we're in. If he's held accountable, I'll be really, really surprised, but I'll come on here and apologize to all, you know, our amazing fan base here of great people. I'm sure you're great people. You all are. And, you know, we also want to talk about things that you want to hear about. So again, give us some feedback. Do you like the way we do this? Do you like the things that we're talking about? Or do you like it when stuff's lighter or heavier? Or do you like us to talk about what's relevant or what's interesting? So I know there was some other stuff I wanted to talk about, but I know we're going a little bit long here. Is there anything, you know, we haven't really gotten into the Roger Stone deal. I think that's just a bunch of crap. I think that Mueller's fishing. He's getting people on process crimes. I think that's why people like Schiff are ramping up what they're doing, is because Mueller doesn't have anything. And people like Roger Stone are just going to give him the bird. They're not going to flip on Trump. We could do a whole podcast talking about some of that too, but is there anything else you want to comment on?
Not really. I mean, just the whole the Smollett thing, you know, just there's just examples of this all the time where it's not about what really happened. It's about whatever idea or narrative they're trying to push, you know. And right. The biggest deal from that whole thing was the MAGA hats, you know.
Right.
That was the thing that the news focused on. The whole, not the fact that, or the alleged fact that he was beaten up or whatever. It was they were wearing MAGA hats, just like those kids that were in Washington D.C. that were there for the pro-life rally, you know. The only reason that got any sort of airplay was because those kids were wearing MAGA hats. If they hadn't been wearing MAGA hats, you never would have saw that video or heard anything about it ever. And so, again, these people, you know, they're out to get Trump any way they can and try to separate his supporters any way they can. And if they have to make up stories, I don't put it past them at all.
Yeah, I mean... And they're totally just not curious at all. You can't look at this thing with this guy, with this Smollett cuck. You can't look at him and not be curious, but nobody is. All of these major news sites followed the narrative exactly. It's pretty creepy how all of their reporting is almost word for word the same. Almost as if they're just writing the story that they were given. They're not the least bit curious. Matter of fact, they're afraid as journalists to be curious about that. They're afraid of the backlash if they say, well, you know, we're not going to jump to any conclusions, but it is kind of strange that he's claiming this. And, you know, but there's no curiosity from the mainstream media. None. And it's just sickening. You're journalists, you know, or that's what you're supposed to be. They're not. They're partisan hacks. They're political operatives. But yeah, they're a part of this. They want that too. They want it to be. They want it to be a thing that this guy, because then they can point at it and go, see, this whole time we've been right. We knew it. We knew that they were racist and whatever, but they don't even ask the simple question of how do you wear a ski mask and a MAGA hat? Why did nobody see, and why did they not show up on any security cameras? Why is this guy acting shady if this really happened? Who goes to fucking Subway at 2 a.m? Is there really a Subway that's open that late in Chicago? Do they keep Subways open? There's a lot of people that think that he got into some weird, like, I'm not even going to speculate. You can get that on other shows. Listen to Gavin McInnes, and he's got some pretty interesting theories about what this guy was really into and what may have really happened. I'm not even going to speculate like that. I think the whole thing is a farce. I think it's made up. I think that it was planned. I think it was premeditated. I don't think that it was like something that happened that night that he decided, oh, hey, let's turn this into this. I think he planned it. I think that's what that letter was. I think he had it in his mind. Okay, well, I'm going to do here. I'm going to send this letter, and then in a couple nights I'm going to go and I know a place where there's no cameras, and, you know, I'll make a little noose and put it on, you know. It's just, anyway, I guess I did speculate, but, you know. So, but, well, if that's if that's all you want to talk about, I guess thanks for tuning in again. Feedback. One thing that we've never said before, you know, like and share if you like this. We'd love to have our audience grow, and again, really would love feedback. And if you like what we're doing, then let us know. If you have some like questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, you know, would love to hear it. If you have a take on one of the topics that we're talking about, if you have a comment, you know, send us a comment and we'll read it on the podcast. But like and share. I know stuff like this, you have to be careful. So, you know, share with like-minded people. We're pretty, pretty far to the right. So your lefty friends probably are not going to be convinced by our views on this podcast, but I do think that we could be like to show somebody sort of the other side of an opinion. If they've been hearing the media and kind of the media's take, then maybe we could balance it out with hearing the other side. But again, we want to hear from you guys. And so, but for Glenn Keck and for MAGA Dave, have a wonderful rest of your eve, whether it's the eve of your morning or eve of your night. And man, I gotta find a better way to sign out. I was gonna do the whole PETA thing, where I was gonna be like, "Don't." Well, I can't even remember any of them now. But we need to get our heads together and find a good way to sign out. But for now, I'll say for Glenn Beck and for MAGA Dave, thanks for listening and have a good one.